We are in Romans session 65, the believer's certainty of deliverance and the believer's joy in God. As we begin this, we want to read Romans 5, 9 to 10, and Romans 5, 11. We start with Romans 5, 9 to 10. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And then Romans 5:11, and not only this, but we also exult, or that is joy, in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Again, we want to remind ourselves of the links that Paul is setting forth here to show the Roman believers that they are secure in the Lord for eternity. If you will remember, we started with the believer's peace with God. That means we are no longer at war with God. We were enemies with him before, but now we are at peace. And that peace puts us into number two, which is standing in grace. That grace is dependent upon his life. As long as he lives, we live. That's eternal. If I live, you shall live also, he said. All right, so that then gives us the promise of being clothed with his glory. That's the third one. His hope of glory. And we find in that we will one day stand in the fullness of his glory, be covered with the fullness of his glory, be clothed with the fullness of his glory. And it begins right now as the Holy Spirit works out his life through us in this world. He begins to show the glory of God to the world. That's what this life is all about. Not only that, when the Holy Spirit comes in and begins that process, he puts within us the divine love of God. That's number four. Link number four. His possession, that is the believer's possession of divine love. We can now love others with the love of God. We can reach out to others with the love of God because we can and have the enabling power of the Holy Spirit within us that allows us to do that. You know, otherwise we have to love people with our own love. And you know how that goes. I love you as long as you love me. Or if you treat me well, I love you. If you don't do anything or any harm to me, I love you. But my love is fickle. But God's love is perfect, and it reaches to even the unlovely. That's why he could say to us, love your neighbors, love your friends, and love your enemies, because it reaches to all. If we have that perfect image in our mind of how God reached us, who were enemies at the time, while we were still in our sins, he justified us and redeemed us. But it was because his love allowed him to love us even though we were unlovely. And that same love now is in us. And it is allowed to be expressed through us by the Holy Spirit. And then number five is the certainty of deliverance. And number six is his joy in the Lord, the believer's joy in the Lord. Now, we've been through the first four already, the first four links. So we want to look at the fifth and the sixth at this time. Now, if the first four were not enough to completely overwhelm us with assurance, there is a fifth link in the unbreakable chain that eternally binds us to Christ, which is the certainty of deliverance from God's judgment. The phrase here, much more than, indicates that what follows is even more overwhelming and significant than what has preceded. Astounding and wonderful as that was. Having been justified by his blood, here refers to the initial aspect of salvation which for the believers is past. Notice it says having been justified. It's not about today, it's about having been. There was a moment when I came to Christ. There was a moment when I submitted my life to him. There was a moment when he called me and I yielded to that call. There was a moment when I repented of my sin and I turned around and I gave my life to him, and he came to live inside me and began to dwell in the very center of my life. Now, that was when I was justified by his blood, having been justified. In the light of the fact that we already have been justified, Paul is saying now then, we are assured of being. Notice, the difference was from having been to now being saved from the wrath of God through him, that is, through Christ. Here's the difference. I was justified by his blood. I was justified by the cross, by the tomb, by the resurrection, by the ascension of the Son of God. I was justified by that act of sacrifice. But now that I have been justified, being his child, I am now saved day by day, being saved day by day from the wrath of God through his life. As long as his life continues, I am being saved from the wrath of God through him, that is, through Christ. Because we now identify with Christ and are adopted as God's children through him, we are no longer children of wrath. We were at one time, if you remember. In Ephesians 2, 3 and 5, we have these words. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now here's the thing. We were formerly like the rest of the world. We were following and indulging the desires of the flesh. We were allowing our mind to be controlled by the flesh. We were by nature under the wrath of God, even as the rest of the world. But God, in his mercy, and by his grace, and by his great love, reached out to us and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he did that through the cross, through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, through the giving of his life as a sacrifice and a propitiation for our sin. This was a part of his atoning work. He delivered us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 and 5:9. Because of the cross, he took upon himself the penalty and suffered the wrath that we deserve. Now, Paul's next thought is closely related to the previous one in verse 9 and is the central message of this passage. For if, now listen to this carefully, for if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You know, if God had the power and the will to redeem us in the first place, how much more does he have the power and the will to keep us redeemed? Good question. In other words, if God brought us to himself through the death of his Son when we were his enemies, how much more now then that we are his reconciled children will he keep us saved by the life of his Son? If the dying Savior reconciled us to God, surely the living Savior can and will keep us reconciled. You see, the thrust of the truth for believers is that our Savior not only delivered us from sin and its judgment, but also daily delivers us from the uncertainty and the doubt about our deliverance. We don't have to worry about our salvation any longer. We don't have to worry as to whether or not we're saved, or if somehow, if we slip and fall into sin, that we are somehow going to lose our salvation. No. If we come back, if we repent, if we tell him what our sin is, and we confess it and repent of it, and turn from it, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we continue on in the path under the shed blood of Christ. What a glorious thing it is to be able at the end of the day to look in the mirror and say, okay, Father, what have I done today? What have I said today? How have I acted today? In what way have I dishonored you today? Show me that. And then when he does, to say, thank you, Lord, I ask your forgiveness for that, and I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, which covers that sin, and it is now forgiven. And so, Father, I repent of it. I won't do it anymore. I won't walk that way anymore. And, Lord, you enable me not to do that anymore. And so now I will walk with you. And I go on with him under the blood of Christ. You see, how can a Christian whose past and future salvation secured by God, how can he be insecure during the time in between? If sin was no barrier to the beginning of our redemption, how can it become a barrier to its completion? If sin, in the greatest degree, could not prevent our becoming reconciled, how can sin, in lesser degree, prevent our staying reconciled? If God's grace covers the sins even of his enemies, then how much more does it cover the sins of his children? Paul here reasons from the greater to the lesser. It is a greater work of God to bring sinners to grace than to bring saints to glory, because sin is further from grace than grace is from glory. Every blessing a Christian has comes from God. You know that? Every blessing. Through him we have peace with God. Through him we have grace and the hope of glory. Through him we have love poured out in our hearts, his love. And we have deliverance from sin by atoning death, deliverance from wrath, and we're reconciled to God, and that gives us preservation during this present life as we go forward. So that link in itself ties us to Christ, and in Christ, through Christ, to God. And that is eternal. It cannot be broken. The Lord said that nothing in heaven or earth can take you out of my hands. You're in my hands. Nothing can take you out. Nothing. He will bring us to glory. Now, let's read Romans 5:11. Not only this, not only that wonderful link, but now here's another one. We also exult or have joy in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. This is the sixth and final link in the unbreakable chain that eternally binds us to Christ. That link is that believers now have joy. This may not be the most important or the most profound evidence of our security in Christ, but it is perhaps the most beautiful. And although this divine evidence is subjective, it is nonetheless real. Why do we exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Why do we have joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Because it is through him that we receive the reconciliation. That's what the word says here. We have received reconciliation. We have received justification. We have received redemption. We have received salvation. And we have received it all from the Lord Jesus Christ, all through him. And so we have a joy in him for that very thing that he has given us. The abundant joy that God gives his children through the Lord Jesus Christ includes a grateful heart and joy for their salvation. But there's even more to that. It goes even deeper than that. This joy is not only based on the fact that we've received something from God in the sense of his salvation or redemption, but this joy is also based in the fact of just who he is, who God is. It is simply in who God is. Surely one of the reasons David was a man after God's own heart was his rejoicing in the Lord for the Lord's own sake. Listen to these words in Psalm 34:3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let's just magnify the Lord, all of us together. Let us exalt his name together. Why? For who he is. The other psalmist echoed the same joy. Psalms 34:3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. But then 43:4. Then I will go to the altar of God, to my God, my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God. Let me say that again. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God. Isn't that wonderful? What we have here is praising God for who God is. He is our joy. He is our salvation. He is our redemption. He is our everything. And how amazing it is. And so out of us should flow a joy that he's put in there because of all that. And it should be seen on our faces. You know, it's not very wise for us to walk around as children of God claiming to be Christian when we're grumping all the time, when they're complaining all the time, when there's no smiles on our face, when there's no joy in our life. And if you're a Christian today and you claim to be a believer of God today and you have no joy in your life, something is wrong. You have not seen him for who he is. You've not understood what he has given you. You've not understood the blessing of all that. Oh, I think it's such a wonderful thing. And you know, there is perhaps nowhere outside the scripture that this deeper level of Christian joy is expressed more beautifully than in the following stanzas of Charles Wesley's magnificent hymn, Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. We sing it all the time in church. But do we listen to the words? Do we understand what they mean? It represents who we are. It literally defines who we are. Listen, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. Hear him, you deaf, his praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. You blind, behold your Savior come, and leap, ye lame, for joy. He is all of that to us. Now here we have it. Both the certainty of deliverance, no question about it, no doubts to arise, and then the great and wonderful joy that comes from him alone. These link us to Christ and in Christ to God, and link us there for eternity. Now may the God of hope, Romans 15:13, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You hear that? It is joy and peace in believing. No doubt, no worry, no chaos. Joy and peace. And it's all in the believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, we have peace with God. We have a standing in his grace established by his life. We have the hope of being clothed with his glory for eternity. We have possession of his divine love. and we have the certainty of deliverance both now and forever, and that brings great joy from Him. It is because we believe that the joy comes, and when that is all there, we are at peace. Praise God. We need to get these links into our minds and into our hearts so we can share them with others who are doubting or asking, what is our hope of eternal glory? You know, when people come and ask you, why do you believe you're saved? When people come and ask you, why is it that you think that you're any different than I am? What makes you think you're going to heaven and I'm not? We have these six links that we can share with them right out of the Word of God. And in that process, we find what it is all about. We are ready at all times then to share these great truths. But sanctify Christ the Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and with reverence. God bless you. I hope you get a hold of these truths. Amen.